Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Before I share today's episode, I want to take a moment to acknowledge something important. After this conversation was recorded, my guest Lauren experienced a heartbreaking loss of loved ones. My heart goes out to her and her family during this time of grief. I'm incredibly grateful she shared her voice and time with me, and I dedicate this episode to those she lost with deepest sympathy and respect.
Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. And like always, I'm so thankful that everyone is listening. I love to hear feedback. I love to hear all of the things. But how excited am I today to be talking to my guest, Lauren? Lauren, say hello, Lauren.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm so happy to be here with you, and I'm honored to be on your podcast. I know we've been talking about doing this for so long, so I'm so happy it's coming together.
It is, and it was definitely a process, and it's not, it's not in my wheelhouse, so I look to others to help me and guide me.
But you're
I'm so thankful. You are, I know it sounds like a you're so amazing. You've helped me in so many ways that I honestly, we don't have an hour to even talk about all the ways I've used you for marketing, and we're going to talk about all the things that you do, but I just want to give you a really great welcome because you're so amazing. You are so knowledgeable, and everything that you do would take me 742 years, and you do it in like 12 minutes. And I'm like, how is this even possible? So,
well, thank you. You're way too flattering and too complimentary, and I so appreciate the warmest welcome ever. That was so sweet. I'm happy to be here, and I love working with you and like all of the things that we've created over the many years that we've known each other. I was thinking about that.
Me too. I was actually thinking about it too on my drive here because I was like, I started my business and I've mentioned before, you know, no budget, no nothing, right? You're just starting off. I wasn't even sure what this was going to turn into. But after a while, I knew that I needed help with stuff like websites and she is a marketing wizard, but she is also a wizard in so many other areas. But what I reached out to her for, and she was a referral and all of these great things on these mommy groups that we are so lucky that people refer us, right? And we gain momentum that way, maybe a few years ago, and you are just growing left and right. But we met, she was helping me get a website together, get, you know, some streamlined things that just make sense and social media, just all these things. And you're so knowledgeable, and it was really nice. She was a mom of one at the time. No, you are a mom of
two.
And we've known each other for a while, and she's so great. And she listens. She does. You know, she asks. She does, but she's so on it. And if you guys ever need help, we'll talk about that at the end. How to reach out to her, but I she changed my life in terms of just helping me get things going and looking more professional, you know, not just me trying to do a website with like two cans and a string. I don't know. But tell me about you. I mean, I know you do marketing. I know, obviously you're a mom. We're going to talk about that, but let's talk a little bit about your journey, how you started, and I'm not going to talk.
Sure.
I'll let you talk.
You're so sweet. And so, and like, you've done so much and you've come so far in your business. And I love being part of journeys. And I think that was something that like connected us early on. I was trying to think about how we met, and I think it was a referral on one of the moms groups, and gotta love the moms boards. There's like a lot of names floating around, and I've kept seeing your name as well. And then we chatted and connected instantly. But I love being part of like the journey and success with mostly female entrepreneurs. I work with all types of entrepreneurs now, but like, I feel like females and then moms in general, like there's a special connection 100%. And a special support that we just get each other. And
it is. But, and it just means, it means a lot. It means a lot that you help me. It means a lot that we're supporting each other's business. Obviously you've mentioned my name to other people that maybe you've heard through whispers like, hey, I need an organizer. Yeah. I have done the same and I will continue to do the same until you say, you know what? I don't want you to do it anymore because I am retired because I won the lottery and now I'm retired.
Right. I'm still playing the lottery.
Yeah, I'm still playing, but not winning
keep
one
it coming.
Number.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, you're so sweet though. No, thank you for that great introduction. So I kind of, let me think, my journey's been like a roller coaster, like so many entrepreneurs, but I started in my brand, Lauren B. Beauty, about 12 years ago now. Prior to that, I ran another beauty brand. So I've been in like branding and marketing kind of in the background, but mostly in the beauty sector. And it was around the time when I think I was either pregnant or probably newly pregnant with my son. And I started, it was also the pandemic time, and I was like really nervous. And I thought, let's diversify and let me like work on something outside of beauty. I'd been in beauty for so long. And while I love it, and that's where my expertise is, I was thinking about how I could make a greater impact and diversify my own, you know, the brand of myself. And so that's when I got into like consulting and marketing, and that is when we met. I've done a lot in my career with building my own brands, building other people's brands, and I really enjoy being part of it, of the story and of the journey of a brand from the bottom up and seeing them evolve and transform as we've done with your brand, Jennifer.
Yes, you've changed so many things. I wish I could just bottle up all the appreciation I have for it. I do have one question though. That's just, did you go to school to do marketing or did it kind of, you did business and then it blew into marketing or something like that?
Yeah, kind of. Honestly, my experience I think is really self-taught, but I did go to school and actually I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So very random. And I was doing my post-bac pre-medical work after I graduated, and I quickly knew within 6 months that was not for me and I was meant to do other things in life. So that is when I moved out to California and I started working in the beauty industry. I did have a minor in marketing. So it was something that always interested me. But the funny thing about marketing is what I learned in school and in the books is so different than what we are actually doing in practice today. It changes so much, even in just in my career in consulting and working in marketing. TikTok was not a thing we spoke about like several years ago. And all of these digital practices, even like podcasting, it's so different now. We didn't learn really about these tactics in school. So a lot of my work has just been continuing education and self-taught, being in it and interested in it.
Oh yeah. I can imagine just how you've also had to educate yourself, because I mean, there was no influencers. There was no, like you said, no TikTok. I mean, there was nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, remember MySpace?
It's true. Tom, we were the original generation with MySpace.
And, Tom was your only friend.
totally.
But you know what I mean? So I'm sure as somebody who's into marketing my past life, I had some marketing, but not at the level you did, like not even there at all. So I can imagine too, people wanting now, because social media is where it's at, right? I mean,
it is. When I started my Lauren B. Beauty brand, we focused so much on traditional print media. And that was the one thing you did. I'd fly to New York. I'd meet with editors of all the magazines for like Vogue and Lucky Magazine and all these magazines that actually don't even exist anymore. They folded and went out of business. But there was something about having a print paper magazine. And that was really where all of our efforts were when I was started in this industry. And now fast forward, people don't pay attention to magazines. I don't think people even know about like, where do you buy a magazine? It's all digital now. So much of the focus on my own brands, and I always say this to clients as well, should be on digital. It's fast moving, but you can get the most bang for your buck. But it's a totally different approach. So things change and they change quick.
I waited. I used to subscribe to every magazine.
Me too.
Literally, I loved everything. Lucky. I remember all of those.
Yeah.
Like even like if you had InStyle, it'd be like InStyle Wedding, InStyle Summer.
Yes.
I miss the tangibility of it, honestly. And when I was younger,
yes,
I would cut out stuff or rip the page.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you don't have that now. I mean, you know, there's different ways.
Collage.
Yes.
Make collages.
Me
People
too.
Don't do this. It's all digital now.
God, I made collages too. And it was such a thing. And it was
right,
really great. But I mean, you got to do that. People don't even know. If you told them that story right now, they'd be like, magazines and you know,
right,
ads and you're what? And
yeah,
you're just like, no, you don't understand. That was actually really amazing. Honestly, it was
it
so
was
cool. Like you'd wait for those magazines. And when you saw a
I
cool ad, you're like, I want that. Now it's a little quicker. What's it called? Like a quicker fix, I guess, because you're just looking at your phone. But it was just so different. And honestly, I kind of miss it.
I know.
But I know.
A quick story I always have about like that world is I was the same. I grew up looking at ads and magazines, and I loved being on that side of it where I would go and get to meet the editors and the people that were responsible for putting your products in the magazines. So throughout this evolution, we were talking about like OK Magazine and, you know, those paparazzi shoot magazines.
Yeah.
And this was eye-opening to me that this existed. So I'll share the story. I was talking to my publicist and I said, we need to get my product, you know, in the hands of some celebrities. How can we do that? She's like, well, I have a solution. We can hire a celebrity to go to Erewhon supermarket and my product was sold there. We'll pay them to go shop your product and put the products in their hands and we'll make sure that the paparazzi are there to photograph them so that it for sure will land in OK Magazine and like all the tabloid magazines. And I was like, oh, wow, I did not know that that was like a staged encounter and that existed. How much does that cost? And I think we were talking about we were looking at different budgets and my budget was lower compared to these huge conglomerates and what they could afford. So I was like, okay, well, like how much could that cost? We were talking about maybe a C or D list celebrity and that was going to start. This is again, maybe 6 years ago, starting at about $30,000 just for a 2-minute encounter. And that's not, and then it's no guarantee that you're going to be published, but most likely, you know, you will. And then, you know, Jane in the middle of the country reading through OK Magazine will see your product in the hand of X celebrity and go and buy your products and it will increase product sales. So, but this to me at that time, I was like, I didn't know that was staged. I thought that was very authentic. Like these people really shop and care about, and it's all fake and it's all smoke and mirrors. So
it's all smoke and mirrors. Because I always wondered, now that you say that, because you'd see this celebrity would have like a lip gloss. I remember when like a Mac, you know, remember when Mac was like huge? And I know it is sometimes, but you'd see them with ever the latest whatever. And they'd be just like strategically holding it. I was like, oh, that's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, but
like,
now that you
out.
Say it, it totally makes sense. Oh,
yeah.
It is all smoke and mirrors. See, they always say it's all fake. It's fake.
Yeah.
And then $30,000, you know, like, you're going to pay $30,000 in the hopes of a C, maybe not even, celebrity.
Exactly.
You're not getting Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. No, exactly. And yeah, so I thought that was funny. We didn't end up going through with it.
Sure.
I mean, ethically, I thought it was like, you know, a little weird
it
also,
is. It's
but
not
the
organic.
Budget too, it was like the spend was so quick. I would rather use that money in my brand to develop a better product or put it into like the science and research. But that's sort of just my philosophy. Many brands and many of my competitors do that. And, it helps them grow, but
that's
so
just
different.
Interesting to think because you want it to be organic. You want to know that they really are using that stuff.
Right. Right.
But they do say Hollywood is, you know, all smoke and mirrors. So I think you've...
Yeah. This is just the icing on the cake.
So you started your brand, Lauren B. Beauty, yes. Right?
Yep.
So you started this in what, 2014?
2013 I started, and I was fully employed. I was working in the beauty industry, and I had this idea that I wanted to create a nail polish brand that lasted on my nails. I was so tired of going to the nail salon, getting gel manicures that would be like painful, breathing in the chemicals. I just hated that salon environment. So I wanted to have a better product that I could do on my own that would also fit my checklist of what was missing in the industry. Important to me was that it had to be healthier, free of harmful chemicals, easy to use, beautiful colors that you see in the bottle are true to how they come out on your nail. Components that were easy to use as well, like brushes, handles, bottles, all of that. Very highly curated, not just kind of like picked out of a catalog. So I made this checklist of what was missing in the nail space. I had this idea. I was fully employed. I was really young and no kids. And I don't think I wasn't even married at the time, and just had a lot of energy. And I thought this would be great. And then that's kind of where the idea stopped and fizzled out. And I kept working, and you know, life happens and
sure,
ups and downs. And then I had some mentors that were like, you know what, that idea you had is a good, great idea. There's a lot of opportunity. Clean beauty is taking off. You should follow your dreams. So it was an idea for about 6 years that really took me a lot of courage. I was also self-funded. So I'm saving my money, working, yeah, trying to figure out how do I even start my own brand. At the time I was running somebody else's brand, but, through that, I had so many amazing experiences, met great connections. I was able to talk to like celebrity manicurists and really build my network. So great opportunities there. But it took me a while to kind of get my ducks in a row and sure, figure out where do I go from there. And really to get the courage to spread my wings and quit my day job, which I then did, and pursued Lauren B full time, which I knew I needed to do, but I was truthfully scared shitless to do.
Oh yeah.
So,
you know, that's funny that you say that, because honestly, I think that's probably what holds a lot of people back, is not having that monthly, weekly paycheck. You know, mm-hmm, you hopefully will, right? Hopefully, or you're not going to have health insurance, and now you're not going to have all the things. You can take a day off, sure, but you don't get paid for it. So a lot of those like really kind of, you know, things that you just take for granted when you're working in a place, you know, in a corporate world, but then you go out, and I think because of the unknown, and I think I've mentioned this on another podcast, I know I've mentioned it to you, sometimes you feel like, is the other shoe going to drop? Like, if I get clients, but then what if 1 month you don't? Like, you know what I mean? So I am sure in the beginning you also, you know, had that. How did you, okay, so once you decided you're a female starting a business in beauty, were there challenges? Were there... What are the biggest challenges that you had starting?
Oh my gosh. Like everything you just mentioned, by the way, never goes away. Like you and I both know, I worry probably every night an unhealthy amount. Like just worrying about everything. Yeah. I will say now my skin's a little tougher. My bucket's fuller. I don't get as upset about the things I used to like go home and cry about.
Oh, yeah.
So life, you know, life shapes you and toughens us up. But being an entrepreneur, you always worry. It's, you know, I worry about paying everyone else first before I can pay myself, getting my own health insurance, being my own boss. Like you said, if you do take that day off, or you can't take the day off. Like one of my friends asked me why I texted her so early in the morning. I'm like, it was 5:45. I'm like, I'm up then. My day starts now that I have kids. I have to do a little work in the morning and at night when they go to bed just to keep up. Otherwise it doesn't get done.
100%. Like my best thinking is texting first thing in the morning, because usually I'm like, when I want to do it at night, it's a little later and you're like, but also you start to fall asleep or you're like kind of you know, so you're like, I'm ready to go at 5:30, 5:45. And you probably wouldn't do that. You know, you wouldn't do that normally.
Yeah. But and you and I have great conversations at that time. And by the way, I know we text the same way. Like, I always understand what you mean, even though I know you do Siri, because I do too.
Yes.
Like I'm voice to text all the time because it's so much more efficient and we just get it done. And I know what you mean. So you don't have to correct yourself.
I'm like, I'm like, I don't think there was one period in that whole novella I just sent her, but it's totally fine.
But I knew exactly what you meant. Like we speak the same language. But yeah, challenges. I mean, I think when I first started out, I was younger, and being a female, I was so many times left in a boardroom selling beauty products to bald men making the decisions. And I always would get a kick out of that. I'm like, okay, so maybe your wife has experienced this this problem, or like a female in your life. And I never understood why there were not more women in power, especially in the beauty industry. So there was that. And then oftentimes I would just kind of be in a meeting with other colleagues, and people would speak and look directly at the males in the room and not me. And yes. I'm like, hello, I'm the CEO here, but you can't say that. So just, I think a lot of times also being underestimated, people thinking that they can get away with certain things. And I think I'm a very nice person, but also like, don't cross me. I know what I'm talking about. So that all came later in life.
You're so nice.
Thank you. Thank you. You are too. I needed that confidence. I needed to really be able to stand my own and put people in their place sometimes. And it's easier said than done. There's a lot of fear and a lot of work in getting that confidence in business, especially.
So yeah, you're so right. And I think it's so funny you say that about, you would be, you know, talking about your line, your company and everything yeah. to bald men, which by the way, it just brought back 75 different memories, but that's so great. So you decided to do this idea, you thought yes. about it. Now you're going to execute this idea. But the one question mm-hmm. I have is, beauty is everywhere, mm-hmm. everywhere. And especially now, even more so, I yes. feel it is, I don't want to say oversaturated, but I mean, there's so much beauty. So what did you yeah. do back then? Or it wasn't that long ago, but you know, what did you do how do you make it different? How did you make yeah. your world, your business, everything different yeah. in a kind of saturated market?
Totally. I knew that my selling points had to be very unique. And I saw that there was a white space in the market. So there's a lot of nail polish brands out there. I knew I wanted to be something different. I wanted to be cleaner, healthier, a brand where women would not have to compromise their health for feeling beautiful. At this time, clean beauty and green beauty didn't really exist. So I found myself banging my head against the wall, trying to teach customers who are shopping at Erewhon and eating healthy, but have acrylic nails on and putting chemicals in their body. And I'm trying to educate. And to be quite honest, in this country, it was not easy. I launched internationally first for that reason. I think internationally, just the health conscious beauty, clean beauty section was a little bit more established. So it was a little bit easier for me to get my footing there. Finally, years later, like now we're coming around to knowing harmful toxins in beauty products. So customers are coming around, but it's been a good 10 years before, with a lot of education and a lot of talking about my brand before we really got like traction in the marketplace. But I knew we had to do things differently. So mostly it was my quality control and knowing what I wanted in a nail polish and knowing what wasn't out there. And I scoured different brands and I talked to these celebrity manicurists and chemists. I'm not a chemist, but I relied on chemists to just come up with a formulation that was superior. And then once I had that, it was taking it, the whole marketing side of it also, then taking it and putting it in the hands of the right tastemakers. Those at the time, it was the beauty editors, Jean Godfrey June from Lucky was a great supporter. There were so many people that in my past have been so supportive of my brand and of me doing things differently and really wanted to help. We didn't launch with a huge advertising budget. It was more just word of mouth. And I was very grateful that I made a quality product and people saw that. And that's what put us on the map. And from there, we then put the marketing initiatives into place. And we would do a lot of digital marketing events and influencer events and then some paid marketing as well. So, and then just continuing to evolve the brand, coming up with different products in my case, and refreshing websites and just doing things differently, working with the right partners to kind of keep your brand evolving. And it's so important.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. You did this marketing. Okay, what has changed in marketing now versus then that moves the needle more? What would you say? I mean, I think...
It's faster. So I know we've talked a lot about digital marketing and pretty much everything, and so many people's efforts are on digital. And you know, digital being not only social media, but email marketing, SMS marketing, paid ads, that is such a fast moving arena now. And that didn't really exist, I would say, definitely not when I was in school. When I started my brand, like, Instagram was the only thing we cared about, really. Facebook and Instagram. Now, I don't think, like, many people don't pay it so much attention to Facebook. It's all about TikTok. So the platforms themselves change. And then knowing each brand, like, your brand is very different than my brand. And like, with in its proper place, we focus a lot on Facebook and where our target, you know, clients are, versus my brand is a product we're putting, and it's a, you know, a colorful product. We're putting it out on different platforms where there's a digital focus, like, a visual focus, like Pinterest or TikTok or Instagram.
Yeah, Pinterest.
So the platforms change, what you do on the platforms change, the algorithm changes, like that. My head's still always spinning about how we can keep up with the different changes on the platforms. Best practices. Are we posting four times a day? Are we posting once? Are we using content creators or UGC? Like, just all of that changing is a full-time job.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you use any, like, I mean, I don't even know this whole influencer world. I really don't. But do you use, you mentioned influencer events and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
Do you use people, you know, influencers? Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I use influencers in a strategic way. So we'll do influencer events, which is kind of a creative way to get influencers and tastemakers in the room. We'll host them. We did a really cool activation in Hollywood where we rented out a Airstream bus. We branded it with my brand. And then we invited all of these influencers to really create a moment for them. Our goal was that they have their phones out and that they're taping and they're videoing.
They get the VHS out and they're recording.
They're filming. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm picturing. That they have their phones out and they're live and they're creating content. So we're creating cool spaces for them to come and want to make meaningful moments with us. So we were doing manicures. We had a little mani cam set up so that after they got their manicure, they could walk the red carpet. And in our mind, we knew that cool activation would be something they'd want to film and put on their platforms. So things like that, and just kind of thinking outside of the box. We do a lot of gifting still, just to be front of mind, where we'll send a curated, not only product, but maybe it's like a summer survival kit. It will have your cool summer products, but some sunglasses and or flip-flops or like something cute that we send to these people to be front of mind, so that when they do put those sunglasses on that were a gift from us, they're also like, oh, I should show her some love and like show
absolutely.
Her brand. And then that will translate to sales.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned, well, I know I did, on one of the episodes I was talking about, I helped this influencer a few years ago. I've helped a couple, but it was like beauty products, mostly makeup, you know, whatever. I couldn't believe like the stuff they got, but it was funny, the stuff that she would point out was the smallest package, or she would remind, like you said, maybe not a pair of sunglasses, but maybe it was like a little makeup bag or whatever it was. And that's the makeup bag she had of the 200 bazillion that were in the room. And then she would talk, and I would just ask her questions because that's what I do. So I just think for like the Airstream and all of that, you do have to be kind of evolving, because I feel like everyone's outdoing everyone, right?
And totally. Right, and in this space, like, there's so many brands. I'm like such a small fish. There's so many huge brands with huge budgets owned by the biggest conglomerates in the world. And I realized early on, I can never compete with that. But what I do have is, like, I'm a real person behind the brand. I can promise you that a lot of heart and soul goes into every bottle and every product and every job and every client I work with. And that was sort of my angle early on. Like, I'm a genuine person. You like me or you don't like me. I'm behind my brand. And I promise you, like, what I'm putting out there is quality and I care about. And so you might not get the same for OPI or another brand who like has no person behind it. Essentially, it's run by a board of men
with four hairs on their head, no nails.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Right. And so I always would say I have a lot of heart and soul in my brand, and I would try to connect with people. And this also goes for the people in the stores selling my product. I recognize I can't be in every Planet Beauty store or every store that sells my brand, but I can try to connect with the salespeople that are there every day. And I can try to make a, you know, make a connection, make them remember me and want to sell my brand versus, you know, unnamed, large name, no heart brand.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I kind of, I can, yeah, I knew I could never compete with those. What is like, I saw Tatcha is sending influencers to like Fiji and they're doing all these elaborate trips or flying them first class. And I can never compete with that type of ad budget. But I could try to connect on other ways. So that's kind of been my whole thing.
Which and, I mean, on paper, sure, that's great. But I just go back to the natural, organic like of something. Like, okay, you got a trip to Fiji. Did they care about the stuff as much as they cared about the trip to Fiji? Whereas if you do a little right. event, and I say little, I don't mean any disrespect, but a littler yeah. event than Fiji.
No, it was.
And you
it,
had a yes. great, to me, that means more than the, you know what I mean? I mean, unless totally. I could like squeeze and a I'll vacation say, out of it, sure. But you know what I mean? I think it means more.
Right, like it's all, yeah, it's all fun and whatever. But at the end of the day, they are a, you know, a global brand and you're just a number to them. Whereas I actually care about, you know, this influencer I have a relationship with. And I will say over time, like I've gone through different brands and if I need a favor, I feel like there's people that I could call and that would, that would help me out. And that's really kept my brand alive throughout so many difficult economic situations that we've endured. Sure. So, I'm grateful for that.
So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm switching gears for a nanosecond, but I also want to talk about, sure. there's two things I want to talk about for time-wise, but yeah. okay, so 2020, when was your son born?
2020.
And that's when you decided to kind of do a lot of this, right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I think the world like shut down and then I was like nervous and like, okay, maybe I need to step away from beauty. And I never really stepped away, but just wanted to keep my mind active with other strengths.
So how did that work in terms of you're a new mom? We don't know what we're doing. We think we know what we're doing, but in the beginning, I don't know that we knew all the stuff. I still don't know all the stuff.
Nobody, yeah. No,
and all the books, no. They leave out all the other stuff that no one tells you about.
Yeah, the important
all
stuff.
Really important stuff. So how did you start? Obviously, you have your daughter now, and you know that was a couple years later. Or how old is she now, two?
She's two.
I pay attention. But you know, in the beginning,
yeah, you do. You have good memory.
You're like, I don't even know. She's in my house. We have no idea. I have to see her driver's license.
What day is it? Yeah.
How did you transition? What was your balance like? What did you, there were so many things. And you were in the middle of the pandemic. I mean, like, which everything was.
Honestly.
Like, you're like, I don't.
It was crazy. I still don't know. I still feel like I'm finally now coming up for air, but the biggest challenge, probably the biggest challenge in my business life was really finding the new me. And it all I knew before having kids was throwing myself into work and my brand was my baby. And I worked all the time and that's all I knew. And that was so much of my identity that when I had kids, when I had Grayson, I had a really hard time with figuring out the new me, figuring out my identity, figuring out how I would do it all, like, you know, do the household stuff and continue to have, you know, manage employees and run a business and be a good mom. And I was like, I'm not doing any of it right. And my postpartum was out of control at that point. And we're in the pandemic. So that was rough.
I mean, you just like jumped into the freaking fire. You said, fuck it. I'm going into the fire. 2020, dude, let's launch a business. Let's have a baby.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Right. And then somehow things balanced out. And I think as a person, I tend to do well in chaotic situations when I'm like forced to survive, essentially, forced to keep other humans alive. And so it worked out. It balanced. Now I do thrive when I am busy. I'm not good when I have too much free time to like think and get into my mind. So it sort of worked out. And then just when I was like figuring out the new me, I got pregnant with my daughter and I was like, okay, we're going to, you know, we're doing this again. And literally just now, I feel like after she turned, like they say it takes your body 18 months to recover. I do feel like the brain fog lifts and I feel like some normalcy now where I'm able to kind of juggle and do it. And they, like they say, if you need something done, give it to a working mom. You know that, like with your daughter, it's just, you figure it out and you do it. And I'm very grateful now that with my new shifted priorities, I have my own, you know, my own thing so I can make my own schedule. And if I need to go to a school play or whatever, I can figure that out to do that versus if I was working for somebody else, I don't know that that option would be there. So throughout the hardships of being your own boss and the sacrifices that we make, I'm grateful that A, I'm still here, my brand's still here, and that I'm able to do the consulting and every client that I have. I'm grateful for all that. I'm grateful for how it's played out. But in through the thick of it, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm crazy. I don't know.
You know, and that is one of the things is, and I've said this before and I'll continue to say this, you know, being blessed to have your own business is so many levels of just scary and, mm-hmm. and uncertain. And you don't have, like I said, one month you can have the best month and the next month, maybe it isn't as great. But right. If Charlotte has, like today she has her little theater production at 5:30 and you know, there isn't even a question about it. Or when she's sick, I could just, my clients are so understanding because most of them are moms, you know? So I'm like, listen, mm-hmm. Charlotte, I don't know what's happening with her, but she's sick and I'm going to be home with her. Whereas, and for that, I also find it to be a blessing besides all the strategies, marketing and all the stuff that you do. And you do so much more in that whole world, dealing internationally, dealing all this stuff, but we get to be with our kids because we're not stay at home moms. We can't, I mean, I do not have the luxury to not have a second income.
Right.
And I'm sure you're doing this. You have a passion, also because, right, we need,
Yeah, we need to,
and right. especially now, everything is $1 jillion for like one thing. You know, it's stressful and all of those things, but you have a really good balance. And then do you have a balance with your husband? I mean, do you guys able to get time? I'm sure he works, but do you guys get to get time and balance it? What is he work for himself? Like, is he his own boss too, or he's a corporate?
No, he has a traditional job, I'll say, and he works a lot and he commutes to Van Nuys. So he's got like a maybe 45 minute commute, sometimes more every day, which I know is a lot, but you know, he gets to go out of the house and works out of the house, and has a, you know, more traditional job, but he works a lot. And so I tend to be the default parent with the kids. And while I'm grateful for that, sometimes as you know, it's a lot too. I'm the one rescheduling my day when something mm-hmm. happens. But we figured out the balance and sometimes it does honestly feel like we're ships passing in the night on busy, like this time of year, this month has seemed really crazy for some reason, like the holidays too. But so sometimes it feels like we're ships passing in the night and we just try to make it a priority to have time together, to, you know, regroup. And like, sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed. We need to figure this out. And easier said than done, but we try our best to make time for each other and to, you know, set aside some time to do things with just us, because I think life can take you, wrap you up and take you away.
Yeah.
And,
we, you know, David gets home really late. I, you know, but every once in a while I'll throw in like the, hey, I don't really want to be a single parent, so I need your help. And, you know, especially now I'm Charlotte's professional Uber driver. So that's really, I didn't know that was my calling in my journey, but apparently that's what it is, because it's every day. And I'm like,
I hear that's my next chapter, right? It's like every phase of like their life, it's something that we're doing or worried about.
And I feel that was never talked about, but I'm like, I should put like the Uber light on my car and just, you know, 3-4 things a day. And I'm like, Jesus, Lord.
Yeah,
I want to ask you, so you said you do international, you do marketing. Obviously your beauty brand is where it's at, but you said, you know, there was other things. You got into marketing, you did consulting. Obviously you've changed my life and I will continue to kiss your feet. I won't, because I have a thing with feet, but kiss your feet, I'll kiss your hand. Feet are gross. Anyways, but that's another topic.
Yes.
What's on the forefront for you? Like, you are possibly, what were you mentioning?
Yeah, so I've got, so my brand is great and it will continue to grow and thrive. We're going to do some like rebranding and repackaging just to give it a little facelift. As you know, with the branding and marketing, I'm always wanting to change. So there's that. I'm always working with clients, but you know, I did realize that life is really too short. And I think through my transition into just like this shift of priorities, I realized that I really only want to work with people. And I think you and I have spoke about this too, that when my phone rings, I don't want to be afraid of answering the call. I want to work with people that I like and that get me. And just, I've been honing in on that. So I really only work with very specific clients. I tend to work with a lot of female business owners because I just like that. I like being part of that journey. But I'm also embarking on this new chapter, which I think, I don't know if I might be, you might tell me I'm insane. I don't know.
You're like, not insane.
What is going on?
You're not.
I'm purchasing a business in the event rental Ooh. Space. So we'll be, yeah. So it's totally different, not beauty. But I'm going to be doing the marketing and the day-to-day sales and operations. So it's a company that's existing that sells, rents mostly, tents, tables, chairs, linens, everything you need for party needs. And why that, I think, is an important question I ask myself, but that is something that people will always continue to, it's a service-based business people will always need. They're always going to need organizers. They're always going to need party supplies, tents and tables and chairs, because that's something AI can't replace. It is a service-oriented business.
Can I tell you, the comment I would never say to what you just told me is insanity. I think it's genius because, and I'm sure you know this, but you know, I go into so many houses, you talk to so many people, but I go into so many houses.
Yes.
These parties are not the parties we had in yesteryear. And yes, I'm bringing up yesteryear, because I don't even know what language that's from, but or what time period. But these parties, like, I'll be there and they're like, sometimes I'm helping people, not necessarily plan the party, which I've helped with that, but like getting it ready because they're going to be having a party in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, this is insanity. But in terms of like, you know, they're going to have fountains with like fireworks. And, you know, it's like for a 1-year-old.
The amount of
You know, and it's crazy. But honestly, tents and all of that stuff, everybody's going to do that.
Yes. And it's true. I didn't grow up in California, so I don't know if it's a California thing, but these parties, and now that I'm in school and in like the circuit, these parties are insane. They're fun to go to, but I think, so that's why I think it's a smart business.
It's fantastically, wonderfully smart. I'm not even joking. And so by the way, I have a couple clients that I'm going to hook you up with.
I was going to say, we'll have to connect.
That's on a side,
because, yes,
I know, side thing.
Yeah. You see it all and you have this, I think there's so many, clients that we probably would share. In
oh
that
my
space.
God.
So yes,
without
we'll have
a
to
doubt.
And, connect and, on that
and
topic.
Want to share with you. But I mean, I You're always get asked questions like, do you know somebody for this? Do you know, they ask me because here I am. And I do, but I mean, some people I don't really recommend because
you have a great network.
I do.
Right?
I do. I have a great network. I think that's a genius thing. I really do. I feel I really want to feel that. I pray it's just a California thing, because if I ever move out of this state, but when Charlotte, like these 1-year-old birthday parties, you know, someone was telling me they were planning their kid's bar mitzvah and it was like $100,000+.
Crazy. And I'm like, then what when they get married? It's like, what next?
You know what
next?
I mean? And so my mom, because my mom, she doesn't hold back. She doesn't hold back. She's like, you cannot keep up with the Joneses, Jennifer. Your last name is not Jones and you can't do it. And I don't even, and I was like, because these, you know, when Charlotte was one, I'm like, I'm just going to do like a cake. And like, I mean, she's one. She was still asleep half the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't go crazy. For me, I thought I went crazy. But like people were like, I spent like $8,000 on my 1-year-old and she ended up sleeping the whole time. And I'm like,
these birthdays are crazy.
I know.
They're over the top. I mean, and then I feel guilty like, oh, am I the only one not doing like an elaborate birthday party? But it just took like finding the group that...
Because at the end of the day, like now, you know, I always say this too, and I know it sounds, David and I got married in Vegas. If I was in my 20s, my late 20s, maybe even my early 30s, I know I would have had a big wedding, because I used to cut out all the stuff from InStyle and put everything in a box.
From InStyle,
and the collages and all the stuff. But I got married in my 40s, my early 40s. And so was like, I want to travel and not spend that money on that. And the same, or do whatever, you know. And same thing with these parties. You can still have a nice party, but you still need tables and chairs, but you maybe don't have to have fireworks coming out of everything.
Right, exactly.
So I'm
the baby reveals all the things. Oh
I'm
my
really
gosh.
Excited that you're doing that. I absolutely don't think that's insane. I think that is actually genius. Because everyone's having
problems. I only say insane. Thank you, by the way. And I only say insane because, like, you know, balance, the balancing act.
Yes.
Like, you know, Uber's coming up in my future, I'm sure. We're just starting to get into, like, I signed him up, Grayson up for karate, and it's three times a week. That's why I'm like, what am I doing? He starts school. Anyway, like, figuring out the school and all the things.
And then, and then if he's good, like, let's say baseball, and then he's good. Yeah. And not to say your kids aren't.
Please don't be good.
Please don't be good. Don't be an Olympic contender. Please don't,
don't get into anything. Just be moderate.
Just show up and smile and get your cupcake at the end. Because then it's like, someone's like, oh, Charlotte can't have a, or, you know, they couldn't have a play date because the soccer started at 7 in the morning on a Saturday. And it's like all day. And I'm like, Charlotte would never do that because we wouldn't do that.
Right, exactly. It has to fit in your life too. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Congratulations
on
that.
I'm excited for the chapter.
I'm really excited for that. Obviously, I will continue to support you as you continue to support me and all the other women and small businesses and all the things that I really do try. I mean, just entrepreneur, that word before I used to be like, okay, is that somebody just means like they don't have a job? Like when I was like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, do you have cold hard cash?
I think that is consulting. I consult. What are you consulting?
Consulting to myself. You will continue to do amazing things. And I know that I will eventually have, a conversation with you, hopefully on my wonderful podcast that we love, but how can people reach out to you, not only for your beauty, not only for your amazing attitude, not only for your beauty products and your nail products and your marketing and all of the things, because you are, you treat everybody like they're your friend. And we're talking, you know, when you say like, I'm like, this is what I want to do. You're like, what do you think of this, this, and this? And it's just, it's not pushy. It's not any of those things. And I know that there's a lot of people that are wanting to maybe need help from you. So how can they reach
out?
Or I can also, you tell how you can reach out, but I'll also add a link so that people can click on it as well. So they can go directly to you. But let me know how,
on
let
Instagram,
everyone know how they can reach you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I would love to help anyone. They can find me on Instagram. I am Lauren B. My website is laurenbbeauty.com or email me info@laurenbbeauty.com. And I'm happy to answer questions or just connect and give guidance where I can be of any help.
You are truly a wealth of knowledge. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And I thank you so much. And I look forward to talking to you, obviously offline, about more things I need help with and everything.
Yes.
So thank you so much. And thank you for listening today. And I hope that I'll talk to you again next episode. Okay, bye. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.